All right, let's dive right in. Today we're taking a deep dive into a property law case that's still making waves.
Tenet v. Boswell.
Yeah, get it. Tenet v. Boswell. Now you might be thinking, lease agreements, how exciting can that be? But trust me, this one's got a twist that'll make you rethink everything you thought you knew about joint ownership.
What's fascinating about Tenet v. Boswell is how it throws a wrench into the seemingly simple concept of joint tenancy.
Especially when a lease agreement enters the picture.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so for those who might need a refresher, joint tenancy is when two or more people own a property together.
Like owning a whole pie.
Not just individual slices.
Exactly. And the whole pie ownership comes with a powerful right.
Survivorship.
Yes. This means if one joint tenant passes away, their share doesn't go to their heirs.
It automatically transfers to the surviving joint tenant.
Automatically.
So no probate court battles or messy inheritance disputes.
Exactly.
Sounds pretty straightforward. So where's the curveball?
Well, in this case, we have Hazel Tenhit and Raymond Johnson, two joint tenants owning a property.
Okay.
Johnson, without telling Tenhit, leases the property to a Mr. Boswell for a hefty 10 years.
Uh-oh.
And to add another layer of complexity,
okay,
the lease includes an option for Boswell to buy the whole property down the line.
Talk about a surprise for Tenet.
Mm.
So what happens next in this real estate drama?
Well, only 3 months after signing this lease, Johnson passes away.
Okay.
Tenhit, understandably shocked, finds a stranger living on her property claiming a valid lease.
Oh, wow.
Naturally, she demands Boswell leave.
Makes sense.
But he refuses, setting the stage for a major legal showdown.
So we've got a real clash of legal concepts here.
Absolutely.
You've got Boswell waving around this lease agreement and Tenhit standing firm on her right of survivorship as a joint tenant.
It's a classic legal standoff.
So who wins in this scenario?
That's the million-dollar question the courts had to grapple with.
Okay.
Tenhit argued that since Johnson leased the property without her consent, the lease should be invalid, especially now that Johnson is gone.
So it went to court. Did the judges side with Tenet's argument, you know, about the consent being necessary in a joint tenancy situation?
Well, initially, the trial court actually sided with Boswell.
Oh, wow.
They dismissed Tenet's case.
Right.
But Tenet was determined.
Okay.
Appealed the decision.
Good for her.
Taking the case all the way to the California Supreme Court. And this is where things get really interesting.
The stakes are getting higher.
Yeah.
So, but what was the big question in front of the California Supreme Court?
The court had to decide if a lease signed by only one joint tenant could actually break or sever the joint tenancy.
Okay.
If it did sever the joint tenancy, then the lease would continue even after Johnson's death.
I see.
But if not, what happens to the lease?
Right. It's a high-stakes game of legal musical chairs.
You could say that.
So on one hand, you have the principle of honoring contracts to protect Boswell and his lease.
Right.
On the other hand, you have the principle of survivorship to protect Tenet's rights as the surviving joint tenant.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's a classic legal dilemma balancing the sanctity of contracts against the power of survivorship.
So which way did the court swing?
In a decision that sent shockwaves through the legal community, the California Supreme Court sided with Tenet.
Wow.
They ruled that the lease did not sever the joint tenancy.
Okay.
And since the joint tenancy remained intact, the lease tied to Johnson's interest in the property expired the moment he died.
Wait, so Boswell's 10-year lease just vanished into thin air?
Essentially, yes. And here's why. The court reasoned that a lease is just a temporary transfer of possession, not ownership.
Okay.
It doesn't fundamentally alter the four unities.
Interest, time, title, and possession.
Exactly. Yeah. That are essential for a joint tenancy to exist.
So even though Johnson leased the property, he still retained his ownership interest in the property as a joint tenant.
Exactly. The court called this Johnson's reversionary interest. It's like having the right to get your property back after a friend borrows it for a while. Yep. The lease didn't fundamentally change the underlying ownership structure of the joint tenancy.
So the lease was tied to Johnson's ownership, and when his ownership vanished with his passing, so did the lease.
That's the crux of it.
Mm-hmm.
The court emphasized that survivorship kicks in immediately upon the death of a joint tenant. It's like a light switch.
One goes off.
The other automatically turns on.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Mm.
Imagine I'm renting an apartment and the landlord passes away. My lease doesn't just disappear, right?
You're exactly right. That's because the ownership of the building hasn't fundamentally changed. The landlord's heirs or estate would inherit the property and the lease would remain valid.
Okay.
But in Tenet v. Boswell, it was the unique structure of joint tenancy ownership that made all the difference.
Wow. So it all boils down to how that ownership is structured.
Precisely.
This case really throws a wrench into things. This has got to have some pretty big implications for anyone dealing with real estate.
You're absolutely right. Tenet v. Boswell is a landmark case in property law, making it clear that leases granted by one joint tenant without the other's consent are on shaky ground.
So what's the big takeaway here for our listeners, especially those involved in real estate?
Due diligence is key.
Okay.
Before entering into any agreements, especially leases, it's crucial to examine the property title carefully.
To see how it's held.
Exactly. If it's held in joint tenancy, you need to make sure both tenants are on board with the agreement.
That's some solid advice right there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could end up in a situation like Mr. Boswell with a lease that suddenly evaporates. But this ruling also raises some questions about fairness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being Boswell thinking you have a 10-year lease only to have it pulled out from under you.
That's a valid point. Some legal scholars argue that Tenet v. Boswell puts too much emphasis on legal technicalities over practical fairness. They say that while the law should protect surviving joint tenants, it shouldn't do so at the expense of innocent lessees who might not be aware of the complexities of joint tenancy.
It's a real legal tightrope walk, trying to balance the rights of both sides.
Indeed. But Tenet v. Boswell also underscores the need for clear communication and informed consent in any real estate dealings. If Johnson had been upfront with Tenet about the lease, or if Boswell had investigated the property title more thoroughly, this whole legal battle might have been avoided.
So listeners, the big takeaway is this. If you're considering entering into any agreements regarding a property, whether it's a lease, a sale, or anything else, do your homework. Understanding the ins and outs of property ownership, especially joint tenancy, is crucial.
And for our lawyer listeners out there, this case highlights the importance of explaining these concepts to clients in a way that makes the risks and implications crystal clear. Don't let them get blindsided by the nuances of joint tenancy.
Solid advice. Now, while this case centered around leases, it actually has implications that reach far beyond. The Tenet v. Boswell also had a significant impact on the world of estate planning, didn't it?
Absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, joint tenancy is often used as a way to avoid probate. The legal process of distributing a deceased person's assets.
Right, because with the right of survivorship, the property automatically goes to the surviving joint tenant, bypassing the need for probate court altogether.
Exactly. But Tenet v. Boswell shows that even with joint tenancy, things aren't always so simple. If one joint tenant creates encumbrances on the property without the other's consent, it can create a legal minefield.
So estate planners need to be mindful of this and advise their clients accordingly. Joint tenancy might seem like a simple solution, but it's crucial to understand the potential pitfalls.
This case is a stark reminder that the law, even in seemingly straightforward areas like property ownership, can be quite complex.
Which is why we're here, right?
Right.
To help you navigate these complexities and understand the real-world impact of landmark cases like Tenet v. Boswell.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've only just begun to unpack Tenet v. Boswell. There's so much more to explore, including how this case continues to be cited and debated in legal circles today. The world of property law is full of fascinating twists and turns.
Speaking of which, we've only scratched the surface of Tenet v. Boswell. There's so much more to uncover, including the dissenting opinions and how this case has shaped legal thinking in the years since.
And believe me, the discussion gets even more nuanced from here. So buckle up, listeners, because in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to delve even deeper into the implications and lasting legacy of Tenet v. Boswell.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're in the middle of dissecting this landmark property law case, Tenet v. Boswell.
It's a fascinating case.
It really is. It's fascinating how a seemingly simple lease agreement turned into a legal battle that went all the way to the California Supreme Court.
And what makes Tenet v. Boswell even more intriguing is that the California Supreme Court's decision wasn't unanimous.
Really?
There were actually dissenting opinions that argued the lease should have been upheld.
So even among the top legal minds, there wasn't complete agreement on this case. What was the reasoning behind those dissenting opinions?
Well, the dissenting judges felt that while the right of survivorship in a joint tenancy is important, it shouldn't completely override the rights of a lessee who entered into the lease in good faith.
So they were trying to balance the scales, taking into consideration both the rights of the surviving joint tenant and the rights of the lessee, Boswell.
Exactly. They pointed out that in this specific situation, Boswell had no reason to believe Johnson didn't have the authority to lease the property. Remember, Johnson was a joint tenant, so on the surface, it would appear he had the right to lease his own property.
Right. It's like if you saw your neighbor renting out their lawnmower, you wouldn't automatically assume they stole it from their spouse.
Right. That's a great analogy. The dissenting judges were concerned that strictly applying the majority's interpretation could create a lot of uncertainty in the real estate market.
Because if someone can't rely on a lease signed by a joint tenant, who would want to risk entering into those agreements?
Precisely. The dissent argued that this kind of uncertainty could actually harm the real estate market, making people hesitant to invest in or develop properties held in joint tenancy.
So this case isn't just about one lease agreement and two parties. It raises questions about the stability and predictability of the real estate market as a whole.
Absolutely. And that's what makes legal precedents so fascinating. They have a ripple effect impacting not just the parties involved, but the entire legal landscape.
So 10 v. Boswell really sparked a debate not just about the specifics of this case, but about the broader implications of how we interpret property rights and contracts.
It definitely did it. Tenet v. Boswell has been analyzed, debated, and dissected by legal scholars ever since the decision came out. It's been a hot topic in law schools and courtrooms, forcing people to grapple with those tough questions about balancing competing interests and property law.
It sounds like this case acted as a wake-up call for the legal community and anyone involved in real estate transactions.
You could say that it really drove home the importance of understanding the nuances of joint tenancy and making sure all parties involved are fully informed before signing on the dotted line.
It's like that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
If anything, Tenet v. Boswell emphasized the importance of due diligence. Whether you're a buyer-seller or someone looking to lease, you've got to check the title and understand the ownership structure before making any moves.
And for those of us who aren't legal experts, that means consulting with a lawyer who can break down those complex legal terms and help us understand the potential risks.
Absolutely. Never underestimate the value of good legal advice, especially when dealing with property.
Now, you mentioned earlier that Tenet v. Boswell is still cited and debated in legal circles today, decades after the decision was made. Why do you think this case continues to hold such weight?
Well, it's considered a landmark case in property law, and it continues to be relevant because it grapples with fundamental legal principles that apply far beyond this particular scenario. It forces us to confront the tension between protecting the rights of surviving joint tenants and ensuring fairness for those who enter into agreements with them.
It's like it opened up a Pandora's box of legal questions that we're still trying to sort through.
In a way, yes. And the legal landscape is constantly evolving. As society changes, so do the ways we use and think about property, which means courts need to reevaluate these principles and how they apply in new situations.
So Tenet v. Boswell wasn't just about one lease and two parties. It sparked an ongoing conversation about how we balance different legal interests and how the law should adapt to new social and economic realities.
Exactly. And that's what makes this case so compelling. It's not just a dusty old legal precedent. It's a living example of how the law wrestles with complex issues and tries to find solutions that are both legally sound and fair.
This case really highlights that the law isn't static. It's constantly being shaped and reshaped by the cases that come before the courts.
You got it. Each case, especially landmark cases like Tenet v. Boswell, adds another layer of interpretation and nuance to our understanding of the law.
So Tenet v. Boswell set a precedent, but it also opened the door for further legal interpretation and debate about joint tenancy leases and the delicate balance of property rights. It's like a legal domino effect.
Now, speaking of legal domino effects, there's another aspect of Tenet v. Boswell that I think is worth exploring, a concept that often comes into play with joint tenancy cases. Constructive severance.
Okay, I've heard that term before, but I'll admit I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
Hmm.
What exactly is constructive severance and how does it relate to Tenet v. Boswell?
Well, remember how we talked about those four unities being absolutely essential for a joint tenancy to exist?
Interest, time, title, and possession.
Exactly. Now, constructive severance refers to situations where a joint tenancy is severed not by an explicit agreement or action, but by the operation of law.
So it's not like the joint tenant sat down and agreed to dissolve their joint tenancy. Something else happened, legally speaking, that caused the severance.
Precisely. And Tenet v. Boswell actually touched on this concept, even though it wasn't the central issue in the case.
How so? How did constructive severance play a role in this case?
Well, the court acknowledged that certain actions by a joint tenant, even if done without the other's consent, could potentially trigger constructive severance.
So even though the lease itself didn't sever the joint tenancy in this particular case, there might be other scenarios where a joint tenant's actions could have that effect.
Exactly. For instance, if one joint tenant decides to sell their interest in the property to a third party, that would generally sever the joint tenancy.
Because it would disrupt the four unities, specifically the unities of title and interest, right?
Exactly. Or let's say one joint tenant files a lawsuit seeking to partition the property.
Yeah.
That could also lead to constructive severance.
Now, for those of us who don't speak legalese, what exactly does partition mean in this context?
Partition is basically a legal process that allows co-owners to divide a jointly owned property into separate individually owned shares. It's like taking that pie we talked about earlier and cutting it into distinct slices with each owner getting their own piece.
So Tenzi Boswell, while primarily dealing with leases, also hinted at this broader and potentially more complicated concept of constructive severance.
It did. It's a reminder that joint tenancy, while seemingly straightforward, can be affected by various legal actions and circumstances. It highlights the importance of understanding the implications of even seemingly simple transactions.
It sounds like we're only scratching the surface of how complex property law can be. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive already.
We have. It's a lot to take in. So let's do a quick recap before we move on.
A recap sounds like a great idea.
Link.
Let's make sure everyone's on the same page before we dive even deeper into Tenet v. Boswell.
First and foremost, Tenet v. Boswell established a powerful precedent. A lease granted by one joint tenant without the other's consent expires upon the death of that joint tenant.
Because that lease is tied to the deceased joint tenant's interest in the property, and that interest vanishes the moment the right of survivorship kicks in.
Right. And this ruling solidified the power of survivorship in joint tenancy, making it clear that this right takes precedence over a lessee's rights under a lease, even if the lease is valid.
The case also underscored the importance of due diligence checking the property title before entering into any agreements. This applies to everyone, not just legal professionals.
Absolutely. And Tenet v. Boswell also emphasized the importance of clear communication-informed consent and transparency in all real estate dealings to prevent these kinds of disputes from arising in the first place.
We also touch on the concept of constructive severance, which, as we learn, can sever a joint tenancy even without an explicit agreement. There are legal actions that can have that effect.
And all of this discussion ties back to the broader point that Tenet v. Boswell has implications for various areas of law, from leases to estate planning to simply understanding the complexities of property ownership.
So for those listening who stuck with us through this deep dive, congratulations. You've gotten a crash course in joint tenancy leases, survivorship, and even constructive severance.
We've explored the nuances of property law and seen how a single legal precedent can ripple outward, impacting individuals, businesses, and the legal system as a whole.
We've covered a lot, but believe it or not, there's even more to explore. This legal saga isn't over yet.
In the final part of our deep dive, we'll be examining some of the criticisms and alternative perspectives on Tenet v. Boswell. We'll also discuss its lasting legacy and how this case continues to shape the legal landscape.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back for the thrilling conclusion of our Tenet v. Boswell adventure. Welcome back to the show. We're wrapping up our deep dive into Tenet v. Boswell, that landmark case that just keeps on giving.
It really does highlight so many important issues in property law.
It does. Yeah. So far, we've really dug into how this lease dispute turned into a full-blown legal battle,
forcing us to confront those complex concepts of joint tenancy survivorship and even constructive severance.
Right. And as with any major legal decision, Tenet v. Boswell has sparked a lot of debate.
And criticism.
Exactly. Not everyone's on board with the court's ruling or the reasoning behind it. So let's dive into that. What are some of the criticisms of the Tenet v. Boswell decision?
One of the biggest criticisms is that the ruling, while legally solid, can sometimes lead to outcomes that feel unfair.
Especially from the lessee's perspective.
Exactly. Remember Boswell? He thought he had a 10-year lease.
Right. And it just vanished.
Gone.
Yeah.
Just like that, critics of the decision argue that it puts too much weight on the technicalities of joint tenancy.
And not enough on the practical considerations.
Right, like the potential hardship for someone who entered into an agreement in good faith.
So it's like the law is saying, tough luck, you had a contract, but these joint tenancy rules overrule your contract.
That's one way to put it. It highlights that tension between following the letter of the law versus considering the real-world consequences. And this imbalance has led some legal scholars to question if Tenet v. Boswell really found the right balance.
Between protecting surviving joint tenants and ensuring fairness for lessees.
Exactly. Especially in cases like this with a long-term lease where Boswell probably invested time and resources into the property.
It must have felt like a huge blow to have it all taken away.
It definitely raises questions about fairness, and critics also worry about the potential impact on the real estate market.
Because if people are afraid, a lease might suddenly become invalid.
They might be less likely to enter into those agreements in the first place.
Potentially slowing down investment and development.
Right. So Tenhippy Boswell, while clarifying some legal principles, definitely started a debate about the practical and ethical implications of applying it in the real world.
So it's not just a theoretical legal issue. It has real-world consequences.
Absolutely. And this debate about Tenet v. Boswell is still going on today in legal scholarship and court decisions.
It's definitely a case that keeps on giving. So how have courts dealt with Tenet v. Boswell in the years since? Have there been any attempts to kind of soften the blow or refine its application?
Tenet v. Boswell is still considered good law in California. And a lot of other states have adopted similar rulings, so it's definitely had a big impact. But courts have also recognized that strict application of the ruling can lead to unfair outcomes.
They've tried to find ways to soften the impact without overturning the precedent.
Exactly. It's not always black and white. There's room for interpretation and flexibility in how the law is applied.
That makes sense. So how have courts tried to find that balance?
For example, some courts have ruled that if a lessee made significant improvements to a property,
under a lease with a joint tenant.
Right. And if that lease is later deemed invalid because of the lesser joint tenant's death, the lessee might be entitled to compensation from the surviving joint tenant.
Okay, so that seems a lot fairer. It recognizes the lessee's investment and protects them from hardship.
Right. It acknowledges that while the surviving joint tenant has rights, those rights shouldn't come at the expense of someone who was acting in good faith.
Are there any other examples of how courts have tried to find that balance?
Sometimes courts look closely at the language of the lease agreement. If the lease specifically says that the property is held in joint tenancy, and what should happen if one of the tenants dies that can provide more certainty and protection for the lessee.
So clear and comprehensive drafting is key.
Absolutely. This case is a great reminder for our lawyer listeners to be very thorough when drafting agreements, especially those dealing with joint tenancy.
Make sure all the potential issues are addressed.
Exactly. Anticipate potential problems and address them head on in the agreement.
So it sounds like the legal system is constantly evolving, looking for ways to refine legal principles and apply them fairly to different situations.
That's the ideal. And Tenhep v. Boswell, while causing some initial controversy, really acted as a catalyst for more discussion and development in the law.
It's a great example of how legal precedents can spark important conversations about the law and how it works in real life.
It reminds us that the law is not static. It's constantly being shaped and reshaped by new cases, new interpretations, and new social realities.
As we wrap up our deep dive, I think it's safe to say that Tenet v. Boswell, even decades later, is still impacting how we think about property rights contracts and the interplay between legal principles and practical considerations.
It has definitely become a foundational case in property law. It's a touchstone for so many legal decisions and scholarly discussions.
We've really explored the ins and outs of this case, the complexities of joint tenancy, the power of survivorship, and the potential pitfalls of agreements where one party doesn't fully understand the implications.
And we've seen how the law tries to balance competing interests and how legal precedents can lead to ongoing conversations about fairness, equity, and the evolution of legal principles.
For our listeners, I think the big takeaway from Tenet v. Boswell is this clarity, informed consent, and due diligence are absolutely essential in any real estate transaction.
Whether you're buying, selling, leasing, or entering into any agreement about a property, you need to understand the nuances of ownership, especially the intricacies of joint tenancy.
And if you're ever unsure about the legal ramifications of your actions, don't hesitate to talk to a qualified legal professional. They can help you navigate the complexities of property law and make sure your rights are protected.
Remember, knowledge is power, especially when it comes to the law.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Tenet v. Boswell. We hope you found it insightful and engaging. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and always remember to read the fine print.